This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I have that sometimes where I'll say things out loud that have to do with my thoughts that no one else is privy to. And then they're like, "I'm sorry." And I'm like, "No." And then I'll explain it. I over-explain in situations way too much because I have so much anxiety. And I always try to give people the explanations I wish I could get in social situations.
Ooh. Oh, like, that's so kind
of you. I try, you know, because like you ever like just have like a very short interaction with somebody, right? And then you go home and you're just analyzing every piece of that. And then you're like, what are they going to, did they think I meant that when really I meant this? And then like, no, they did. And I'll just let people know. Like this is a perfect example. I was at a bar and I'm talking to, two people. It's my girlfriend and then one of her friends. And then I move over, you know, you come over to another conversation and then we started talking. But then my girlfriend needed something and I'd just been in the conversation for like 45 seconds, but I was in the conversation, but I had to exit the conversation. So I explained why I had to exit the conversation so that they weren't like, why did it? Almost to cover myself, just so like my intentions are clear and you can't, there's no room for the assumptions that I will then overanalyze later on. I'm a lunatic.
I love this.
I'm a lunatic.
I feel very in the same company because yes, sometimes I will, is this crazy? So imagine having a conversation with someone, maybe like a crush or like when you met your girlfriend or something. Yeah. And then after they leave, to switch spots with them, like wherever they're sitting, to see their vantage point and going through the whole conversation of like what they saw.
Oh, interesting.
Weird.
No.
I'm a lunatic
It's fine.
But
aren't we all?
Yes.
Aren't we all? Yes. Some people. So like I started going to therapy a year and a half ago. Best thing I ever did. So happy. No one else in my family does. My parents, my sister, they don't. They should. They don't. Everyone should go to therapy. My dad, I go, "Dad, why don't you go to therapy?" And he goes, "Why do I have to go to therapy? There's nothing wrong with me." And I go, "That's what's wrong with you. That's why you need to go to therapy. 100%. Because you think there's nothing." And everyone does. Yeah. We all have things. So is it crazy? No. It's just you're crazy.
It is my crazy.
It is not crazy. It's crazy in the sense that everything is crazy.
Yeah.
And we all are.
Oh, my heart.
But somewhere someone's listening, they go, "These two people are fucking crazy."
And on that note, welcome to another episode of Just a Tip, an advice podcast that's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. I'm your host, Megan Mattoon, fresh off the plane with food poisoning. And today, to help me help you the best that we can, we have Daniel Weingarten in the studio. Also,
fresh off a night of food poisoning.
Which is crazy.
That's crazy that we synced up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Walk me through your food poisoning.
Okay. All right. So let's put it all in the context. So my girlfriend's sister, husband, and two kids who are like 8 months and 3 years are visiting town, right?
Okay.
So they're in town. When they landed, the baby threw up. So he had like a GI bug. I am a hypochondriac, germaphobe, you know, but I just accepted my fate, you know, as best as I could. I'm like, if I get sick, I get sick. 2 days passed, didn't get sick. No one got sick. It was just the baby. Last night we went to dinner. We had pizza and got sick from the pizza. Also, like, I take steps in my life when I cook to not get food poisoning because I'm genuinely, like, afraid of getting food poisoning.
Like what? Like washing your hands?
Well, like washing my hands. Typical stuff. But also, like, I'm always checking the temperature of the meat.
Okay,
you know, I'm always washing my vegetables. I'm, like, I'm trying to take the steps to avoid it. And, of course, we go to, like, a nice restaurant, and that's where I got it.
Was the cheese just unpasteurized or?
I have no idea because me and then her brother-in-law, we both got it. So something that we both had there. And that was the only place that we had both eaten the same things of that day. So I knew it was that. And just woke up. And not as bad as my fear of it would be, but it sucks.
As always.
The fear is always greater than the reality. But yeah, I was just like throwing up. And I remember laying there in between and I was like, oh no, I hope that I like wake up fine. Because we had this.
Right.
And I don't want to be the person who cancels. He's like, oh, I got food poisoning, dude. Yeah, sure you did. Yeah, no. Okay. But like that's, yeah. No. Nothing's worse than having to, your excuse for canceling something is the excuse that everyone uses when they want to get out of something.
Right.
That's the worst. It's almost like I had to come up with another lie because my reality was not a good enough
totally.
Explanation.
That's so crazy. In Mexico City, I just went for, I don't know when this is coming out, so we'll maybe take out this part for the new year.
Yeah.
I just went to Mexico City and I had a green juice. It was the culprit was either the green juice because the water is different there.
The culprit. It's like a whodunit.
Yeah. It is one of two.
Yeah.
And the other one is Domino's pizza. I ate like four slices and I watched Burlesque and I was sad. So I was like, who knows which one it was?
Interesting. I feel like Domino's has like universal quality control.
But that's what you would think. But like even in Mexico City when they have unpasteurized cheese, even though it's Domino's.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Green juice sounds to me like it could be.
For sure it's
could,
that.
I feel like that could be the thing. I'm also heavily lactose intolerant. So,
oh.
Yeah.
And so eating that pizza was a big risk.
That was a big risk. Also, I was talking to my friend about it because we're just a couple of Jews who talk about our bowel movements. He was like, because I've been better about not eating dairy. Mm. So I think I probably shocked my system too with all the dairy.
Okay.
I was like, whoa, we don't do this.
Right.
It was so good though.
Oh my God.
I don't want to say the name of the restaurant because actually I think, I don't know if I got poisoned or I did it to myself.
I think that I've been bitten twice by pizza. I used to work at a Sbarro and I got my first stint of food poisoning then. Oh my God. The quickest way to tell this story is I randomly got a job there. And then in the back, they give you like half off pizza or something like that, which is like, why? Just give us the pizza. It's like a piece of cardboard. So half off pizza. And then I put like Parmesan cheese, but we didn't clean the little, the shaker out in the back because that's not forward facing the crowd. What do you call them? The customers.
The customers. What do you call these tenants?
The pizza crowd. That's just like people that buy pizza.
Yeah.
The audience. We didn't clean it because it wasn't going to be like in the front of the house.
Uh-huh.
So who cares? But then I was just too lazy to get one from the front that it's got to have been like 2 years old or more. Still ate it. Yeah. Immediate food poisoning. And then this time, it was the green juice probably, but I'm going to say it's pizza.
You're going to say it's pizza?
So that I just don't eat pizza anymore.
But how about this? We both got the pizza food poisoning.
Yeah.
So that's pretty, what's the word?
Audience.
Kismet? Kismet. Audience. Audience is the word that you go to. No, kismet. Yeah, sure. Yeah, there we go. That's the word.
Yeah. Hate pizza. Boycott pizza.
But I love it so much. And
too
it was
bad.
Such good
It'll
pizza.
It'll kill you.
It'll, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, I think everyone, all right. Yeah.
All right.
I just faced the reality of having to give up pizza potentially. I'm definitely going to eat it again in my life.
And that's 100%. Fine. You, yes, me, no. But this is not about me. It's about you. Everyone listening, you've learned a little bit about Daniel so far, but you also may know him as a stand-up comedian or from acting in Adam Ruins Everything. But before we started, where am I at?
You're okay.
Thank you. But before we get too far, I always like to internet stalk all of my guests. And I saw that you think that we are all our best selves while listening to Lizzo. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we are. I'm like, I'm going and I'm going like, when did I say that? And I'm like, oh, I did say that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's so funny because like sometimes I'll do shows and people come up after shows and they'll be like, oh my God, this video that you did. And I'll forget that I did that video.
Yeah.
And it's almost the same energy of pretending like you know the person that they say that you've met before. And you're like, where did I meet you? You're doing that gymnastics. But yes, I do think that when you're listening to that, you just get up and like, who's committing a murder to that music, you know?
So Joe Goldberg, probably, from You on Netflix. Have you seen it?
I haven't. Oh. Everyone's talking about it.
Oh, gosh. You know what?
Is it good?
I really love it. And I love the first season, but then I got to the second season, they shoot it in LA, and also Chris D'Elia's in it. So it like really takes me out of it being suspension of disbelief because it's like too close to home.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like this anymore.
It's campy, right?
Well, that's what somebody else said. And I was like, is it? But I think maybe my tastes are campy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, campy's good.
What would you consider campy?
I mean, I don't know. Wow.
We had a half conversation before we started recording, and Daniel was like, I don't like to like say anything bad about anything because people are giving a lot of their effort and like I can't do it.
No one's trying to make anything bad.
Yeah.
You know? But here's the thing. Things can be good and some people don't. Well, like, because there's always going to be people that don't like them. That's just the nature of it. It's just like being able to accept that and be okay with it.
Yeah. Actually. So I guess it's campy. I mean, there's love involved.
By the way, I haven't seen it, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, okay. I would say they're like any Christmas movie is campy.
Agree.
You know, like Love Actually is campy.
Okay.
You know, like I think there's most rom-coms are campy.
Okay.
I haven't seen You, so
it's
I have no idea.
It's hard to know if it's campy. I mean, it's like mainly murder.
It's mainly murder, but is it murder? Like, is there a familiarity to the show? Like, does it feel like something that you've come across before, but just repackaged in this interesting way?
I don't know. It's a little Gossip Girly. There's a lot of voiceovers, but also that actor, Penn Badgley, is in Gossip Girl.
Right. So, well, like Gossip Girl, 90210, those shows, those are all pretty campy.
Okay,
they're
then
like soapy. There's a soapy element to them. Like, I don't want to like conflate like soapy and camp. Maybe those are the same things. Maybe we have the wrong definitions of these words. But like, they're good, you know?
Yeah.
It's like Scandal. When Star Wars, I stopped after like four seasons because it like came around the same time of like this influx in content.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're just like, there's so much. And then I abandoned it.
Right.
But like, it's good.
Yes.
It's not like a piece of high art, but it's good television
it
and it's
is.
Entertaining and the performances are good and they're not afraid to like lean into some stuff that's like a little over, you know, but like it's good.
Yeah. Speaking of soapy, complete tangent. How do you feel about cilantro?
Cilantro? Love cilantro.
Okay. So it doesn't taste like soap to you.
It does not. Is that a thing that people will
say? Yes. So people have a gene that either cilantro tastes yum or it tastes like soap. And I think my taste buds are changing. They're like the next shift over.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm starting to taste a little bit of soap from it.
Maybe that was so the cilantro sad. And the green juice they gave you the food.
Yeah, maybe I was just drinking soap. Just liquefied soap.
No, but maybe that's just in like my Mexican side. That's like, that just like, but no, but there's Mexicans that don't like cilantro. I'm not going to be the one that acts like every Mexican has the same taste buds and we're all a monolith. Like, I'm not good with spicy food, you know? So
I love how difficult, like in 2020, it's so hard to like say anything because it's like, oh, like that could be taken the wrong way. No matter what it is.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm going to get canceled for saying that all Mexicans like cilantro. That'd be crazy. Here's the thing, though. People will say that.
Yeah.
But it's not true. Like, it's not going to happen.
Right.
It's nobody. Like, maybe there's one person on the internet that'll comment and be like, well, I'm Mexican and I don't like cilantro. And it's like, yeah, but we're speaking in hyperbole for the sake of the conversation. Yeah, there's nothing like, I think as long as you're not being like a hateful person and that doesn't come across, you're not being like prejudiced or anything, like you're good. Just don't be an asshole.
Right.
And you should be fine.
I know. Sometimes when people get big jobs and they scour like background reports and like check all the old tweets and stuff, I'm like, if I ever got a really big opportunity, they would have to have like a full on CIA team to check all the content that I've been making. Like, I've been on the internet since I was like 20 years old. I'm 28 now. like, I just make too much stuff. Like, good luck finding something.
Yeah, but also, like, you know the person that you are, yeah, right? So you know the person that you are making all of these things in the past. Mm-hmm. So unless, like, there's a point in your life you're like, I my morals and, like, the way that I saw the world was questionable, so maybe that came through in something. As long as that's not the case, like, you're fine.
I know, but do you ever think about things that you've maybe said on stage? Because, like, as a stand-up, you have to be right, very vulnerable and, like, very vocal and kind of pushing, yeah, the boundaries. So have you ever been like, oh, I don't really believe that anymore, like something you've said when you were a young comic?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Because how do you deal with that?
Well, I started doing stand-up when I was 18, right?
Okay.
So I was 18. I had no sense of self at all because— you know, what? How many 18-year-olds do? And I'm doing this craft that is mostly, I mean, honestly, I'm mostly surrounded by, you know, people in their, like, late 20s, early 30s. And the comics, you know, that I liked have inherently, by being a good comic, have a good sense of self. So I'm mimicking in a sense. And I have this idea of the things that I need to talk about in order to get people to laugh. Mm. So my approach to it is, what is the audience going to laugh at? Not what's funny about me.
Yeah.
And what do I find funny? And, like, in mining into my life or into my mind and the way that I see the world. Because you don't, I mean, at least I didn't. So yeah, I 100% made jokes when I was 18, 19 that I don't agree with, but also just were an attempt to belong and to be funny, but also came from this, like, misconstrued idea of what funny was,
mm-hmm,
you know? And it was very limited. So yeah, for sure.
What do you do now? Like, do you just kind of go, like, that was me when I was 18. Okay, kid, here's compassion, and then move on? Or do you ever address it in your, like, current comedy? Have you ever gone back and been like, hey, I said this thing when I was 18, here's how I really feel, or kind of just refixed what you thought?
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, I, you know, like, there are, and I minded my comedy. Like, I, as a kid, I talk about how, like, I was, like, obsessed with love, and I was, like, this romantic kid. I was, like, a walking puka shell necklace. But now I'm exploring, like, the creepy things I did when I was, like, 13 because of that.
Cool.
You know? And it's, like, it's, like, the 3-minute voicemail that I left to a girl that I had a crush on, where I just sang Usher's Let It Burn a cappella.
Oh, my God.
And I'm, like, that is cringy and creepy. And I was, like, this is an expression of love. And it's, like, no, it's more of an expression of how you're going to burn her house down from her end. You know, you
right,
want to talk about perspective and vantage point? How about listen to that voicemail and what is she, how is she receiving this, yeah, versus how I'm throwing it out that way? You know, and it's being compassionate and being honest and trying to break it down in a way that is empathetic, but truthful, and not cutting any corners and not being nice to yourself either, you know, because then people are going to be like, we've all had things that we do that we regret. And we've all had phases where, like, I think it's all in an effort to try to just find our place in the world. And sometimes when you do that, you just, like, go down weird roads,
mm-hmm,
and you, like, find yourself doing things or existing in places and worlds that you never thought that you would. And then, you know, if you're lucky, you get out of them and you find this place that, you know, where you have love for yourself and you have compassion for yourself and you feel certain in the place that you are, so you can look back at all those things and break them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think the hardest part is about doing comedy now that you're a little bit older?
The hardest part about doing probably having to, it's weird because I'm 27, so I'm not, like, old, you know, but it's weird because I've been doing comedy for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's also making peace with, like, I've been doing this thing for a decade, but I only like the first 5 years feel in a way like they don't count.
Right.
In this strange way, but they do. So, I think the hardest thing for me right now is to not look back at, well, it's weird because sometimes I think sometimes people are like, don't look in the past. I think the past provides relativity that allows you to be happy with the present, you know?
Absolutely.
I think so much of the time we set goals for ourselves and we achieve those goals and then we put other goals in front of those and we forget, we don't give ourselves credit for having achieved the things that we've already achieved. So I think the hardest thing for me right now is, like, having these aspirations and these goals and being too hard on myself for not achieving them yet, but at the same time, not giving myself the credit and the love and the appreciation for having achieved the things that I have up until this point.
That is a huge lesson that my therapist was really like hitting me over the head with this past year of celebrate all of these victories. Not even like, even when they're like, celebrate the small victories. It's like, this was a big ass victory. Why are you not celebrating? And I've been downplaying things since 91. Even the food poisoning that I had last week, I was just like, no, I'm fine. Like, you go, guys, go do your like date night. And I'm literally like four blankets in, shivering, electrolyte, like Pedialyte, every light that I could have was just, my God, it was horrific.
Yeah.
Are you drinking Gatorade right now?
I'm drinking Gatorade right now.
I love it.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, I'll remember I had a show in Ontario at the Ontario Improv. So I was headlining that show, but I had to sit in like 2 hours of traffic. Mm. Oh no, I wasn't even headlining at that point. I was just doing a spot on that show. And I was like, I don't want to sit in 2 hours of traffic. And like, I'm making what, like $20. And I'm like, Daniel, 2 years ago, you would have killed for this.
Right.
And you have to stop yourself and it's like gratitude isn't just for the gratitude. It's like you pull from the past to find the gratitude in the now.
Right.
So I think the hardest thing for me is to just remember that, because it's really easy to go down like the black hole of like hate and judgment and just throwing that at yourself, because it's so fun. It's so fun.
It's just so easy to go down that route. It's the same thing of if someone says something negative, there's a few different things that I want to pull from for the one just metaphor of that negativity is like five times as powerful as something positive. Mm-hmm. So if someone says something negative about a review for a restaurant, like if someone hates where they're like me having food poisoning from green juice, I'm going to tell five people that like never have green juice versus if I had a really good green juice, I wouldn't tell five people how good that one was. So people just like to mainly talk about bad things.
That happens in gambling and poker. I played a lot of poker when I was like younger.
Okay.
Like right off the jump. So what happened was I was doing comedy and all my friends were like 30, you know, and I'm like 19, and they would go to these underground poker games in LA. So I'm going into these like Studio City, like back rooms,
I love a Studio City back room. It's like not dangerous at all. It's just super nice.
It's just like, but it looks like nothing. It looks like a medical clinic. And then you walk in and in the back, there's a room with like two tables. It's, you know, like out of a movie. Mm-hmm. And I'd never played poker before. And then I would just like, that's how I started, was just losing way too much money. And then I continued to play. So for years I gambled a lot and I played a lot of poker, and you always talk about the losses. Gamblers love talking about the losses way more than they talk about the wins. Mm-hmm. It also happens more often, but like, but the truth is, and the feeling that you get when you lose is way more powerful than the feeling that you get when you win. When you win, it's like, all right, I won, let's move on and win again. Mm. But when you lose, it's a gut punch.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't, because I've never played poker before.
No, but I'm saying
losses in general.
Losses in general.
Totally. Well, I feel like when it comes to a game where it's like winning or losing, if you lose, you can either take it as, oh, I'm horrible, I'm taking myself out of it, or you can use it as fuel. But then sometimes when you're like, oh, I'm going to have revenge, or I'm going to like prove something, it's like, oh, that doesn't seem like it. That's out of a good place either of winning. It's like winning, I don't know. I just feel so, I'm just scared now. After therapy, it's like I'm analyzing everything and going, am I leading with hurt or am I leading with heart? Like, am I scared? Is it love and fear? It's always a question of what's driving this.
Yeah, but it's great that you're doing that.
Yes.
Because so many people live life blindly.
Yeah.
Without asking those questions in the moment or at the end of the day or, you know, at the end of the week or whatever. And checking in with themselves and doing that inventory, because it's important.
It's really helped me, the are you leading with hurt or from heart? It's from a Brené Brown book. I forgot what it's called. But I recently, when I was in Mexico City, got this little tattoo. It's a tiny little H on my wrist. Uh-huh. And we went on this Airbnb experience where it was like a taco and tequila tour before a Lucha Libre show or a match. And so a highly cultural night for me. And I remember feeling like no one wanted to talk to me. And I was like, oh, I'm not worth talking to, because everyone's already coupled up and I was the only like single person there. And so I was like, I'm just gonna like sit and wait for this Lucha show, because I didn't even know that we're gonna have dinner in like a group setting. And I really as introverted as I am, I like to have my, like, one-on-ones, I'm great. But in a group, I'm one of the crowd. And I let other people have their shine. Here's my little thing I'm going to say here, and I'm just here. And so I remember feeling like no one wanted to talk to me, and I could, like, feel my body just being hunched over. And I looked down at my tattoo, and I was like, am I leading with hurt or from heart? And I'm like, oh, I'm afraid that people won't like me or they don't think I'm worth it. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to choose love. And then, like, my posture straightened. I asked somebody a question. We got into conversation. And then I was, like, still having food poisoning. So I was like, cool, cool, I could do it. And then I just kind of retreated.
Just cowered a little bit.
Yeah. But I knew that, that I was choosing to not, you know, interact versus the fact that, like, I was like, oh, they won't hate me.
Right.
It's such a cool reminder.
Yeah. And also, nobody is paying attention the way that we think they are.
Well, especially us, from what we've learned about each other. I don't think anyone's thinking the way we do.
No one's thinking the way that we do. And most likely they're thinking closer to the way that we're thinking about themselves.
Right.
So what's the irony of this whole thing is we're all scared of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, none of it is real.
Right.
None of it is real.
Crazy.
Crazy. It's like none of us – I always go back to this. I'm like, as long as you're just, like, a good person,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think it's like people are I believe this. I believe that, like good people are good people. Good people make mistakes and good people do bad things. But good people are good people. And if they make mistakes, they're going to make the efforts to rectify those mistakes, right? And that's where, like, the self-analysis and all that kind of stuff and being able to take responsibility comes into play. But as long as you're a good person, it's all going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's most likely going to be fine. And if somebody comes along the way and takes a thing that you said and that bridge is burnt, and even after rectifying it, it goes away, then that's what was meant to be. And life will move on. And life isn't over. And nobody's never going to be your friend again because this one thing that happened one time.
Right.
Because I catastrophize like a mother.
Me too. I'm stressed thinking about it. Let's take a break. This is a perfect time to take a break.
All right.
When we come back, we have a quick game and a question from the crowd, the audience, which actually is the audience from this point. We're going to take that break while Daniel gives us an extra piece of advice you can find at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. Usually we do this game first to get to know you, but we were in our food poisoning conversation, which was actually, before we even do the game, do you have a tip on food poisoning?
A tip on food? Clearly, I know nothing. Clearly, I thought I knew, and I make life difficult, and I know nothing. Here's the tip. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So live your life.
God.
That's it. There's nothing we can do to avoid it.
You're right. You're right.
You're going to get a romaine warning. Make sure the romaine isn't from there. Cook your chicken to 165 degrees if you eat chicken. And wash your vegetables. And then that's really all you can do.
But what about post food poisoning?
I just had a banana and some Gatorade and some Advil and water. And I feel great.
Wow.
Yeah,
I feel. If only we were all that lucky.
Yeah, I don't feel it. My head is pounding right now. But you know what?
You're killing it.
I feel electrified.
Yeah.
I feel electrified with this conversation. Yeah. Oh, no, not – screw the Gatorade. Fuck the Gatorade. No, this conversation is curing me. So have a good combo.
No, truly, that is helping.
Get that brain working.
Get that brain working.
This is better than just lying in bed.
Absolutely. I think my tip for food poisoning would be, this is what I learned. I Googled everything in my bed doing nothing. If you have a fever, there's a Panic at the Disco. I hate that I'm saying this because it's like probably a wives' tale or like everyone knows this. But there's a Panic at the Disco album that's called A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, implying that you should sweat out a fever. It's not true.
Did you get a cold shower?
So a cold shower will work. Basically, if you're chilled, if you feel like you are freezing to death, don't bundle up because your body will get hotter.
Right.
Your body's already trying to regulate the temperature. So if you can handle it, take off your sweater, take off like the three blankets and just have a sheet and just wait for your body to do the work.
Do you have any doctors in your family?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Dentists. Yeah.
Okay. Well, teeth doctors. Yeah. Doctors are the worst parents in the world.
Do you have doctors for parents?
My dad's a doctor.
Okay.
And then my girlfriend's sister and brother-in-law are both doctors. And I mean, they're wonderful parents. But when it comes to like as a child, mm-hmm. right, everything's going to be fine. Like growing up with my dad, I'd be like, Dad, he's like, all right, if you still have it in 3 days, let me know. And I go, what? What are you talking
about?
What
about now? What about today?
Huh? What about now, Dad? Can we rectify? Can we check in on this now? He's like, just drink fluids and take some Advil and you're going to be okay. And he's right.
Yeah.
Every time he's right. But as a kid, you were just like, but I want love and care. And then mom comes in and then mom provides the love and care.
Right.
While Dad is like, he's going to be fine. I'm going to be the worst dad in the sense that I'm going to be so worried all the time.
No, that's the dads we need. That's the dads we need. Okay, so we've got our food poisoning tips. Also, Imodium. A little bit TMI, but Imodium is a good medicine to take if you need to stop your bowel movements.
Oh, okay.
So that you can fly or exist.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay. With that being said,
is this podcast sponsored by Imodium?
No, but I've had
just a tip sponsored by Imodium. Clog those bowels. Hey. Just get sued. Get a cease and desist. Listen,
totally.
We're under the radar. We're fine. Okay.
We're fine here.
We're okay.
This is a game called Bursa First. It's one round of rapid fire questions. Everything from your first job to the first time you cried in public, etc. Whenever I yell stop, you have to explain, elaborate, or tell the full story. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. All right.
You're allowed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make an addition to this game. You're allowed one pass.
Gotcha. Here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
How many questions are there? How many firsts are there?
Ooh. Tell me why you want to know.
Because then I can. Because if it's like five, then like I want to, if I'm at like four, you know what I mean? So like I want to use it.
It's
like a nuclear weapon. You got to use it or lose it, you know? So.
Oh my God. Okay. I should have not given it to you. There's 10 of them, I think.
Okay. All right. Okay. I think. Okay.
They're not numbered.
Okay. All right.
Here we go. What was your first job?
I was a tennis instructor.
What was your first cell phone?
It was a Nokia, the one with the snake on it.
First pet peeve to come to mind?
Oh, people smacking while they chew.
Oh, yeah. First kiss location?
First kiss location was at an island.
Oh, the burger spot?
The burger spot.
Okay. First major purchase. Wait, hang on. I want to stop. Where at the islands? Like at the table?
No. I was.
No, of course not.
No, I was in first grade.
What?
And I was there with another first grade girl and her dad and mom having dinner. And she was, you know. I went to the bathroom and she followed me to the bathroom and then she gave me a kiss outside of the bathroom.
And
that's it. It's very weird.
Wait.
Yeah.
It was her family and then you?
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys were like crushes.
Yeah, they were neighbors.
Oh.
So I would like, you know, sometimes spend time over at their house.
Aww.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was the first kiss.
I one time got kicked out of a family establishment called Gator's Dockside in Florida because I was making out on one of the arcade machines.
Gator's Dockside? Is there more of a Florida fucking name than Gator's Dockside?
It sounds like a joke.
It sounds like Tampa. You know, is it Tampa? It wasn't Tampa.
It was Orlando.
Orlando, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh,
so that's me.
Great. What do they serve Gator Burgers at Gator Dockside?
They save Gator Bites.
Gator Bites.
Which are so good. Have you had?
I haven't. But what does Gator taste like? Is it like chicken?
It's like chewy chicken.
Okay, yeah. I feel like every time you hear like a weird food or like a weird meat, that they're like, ooh, what's that? It's just like a version of chicken.
Totally.
Yeah.
Chicken for everyone. 165 and above. Okay, here we go. First choice in a karaoke book.
Ooh. Blink 182, All the Small Things.
Yes. First internet screen name.
Eagles 85135.
Like Philadelphia?
Yes.
Wow. First thing you think when someone doesn't answer the phone.
They're dead.
First celebrity crush.
First celebrity crush. Oh, Lindsay Lohan and Parent Trap.
Yes. Which one of them?
Oh, either one. I wasn't picky.
It's the same person. First concert.
Say Anything.
Whoa. I want to stop because this is interesting. So you're a little emo kid.
I was 16. I just got my driver's license. It was a whole day. So I got my driver's license. It was my birthday. So it's March 13th. 2008.
Okay.
And I had my driver's test in the morning, and I had a whole plan. I was going to pass the driver's test, and then I was going to, you know, take the car to the concert, but I was going to pick up my friends on the way, even though you're not supposed to pick anybody up. And I failed the driver's test that morning and had a full-on meltdown, like a child.
No, same.
Yeah, like a child. My mom felt so bad. She's like, you can take the car to school if you want. Like, my mom let me drive without a license because she felt bad for me.
Oh.
And then we drove. And then at night, we went to Say Anything, and it was great. I love Say Anything.
So do I.
Yeah, Say Anything was great.
Not a lot of people know that band.
No. And if I could swim, I'd swim out to you in the ocean. Swim out to where you were floating in the dark.
That's a really good impression.
That's most bands in the mid-2000s.
No, but Say Anything has like an extra little twang.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I loved Say Anything. Jack's Mannequin.
Yeah.
Jack's Mannequin was great. Yeah, I was like, it was weird. My playlist was like Jack's Mannequin, Say Anything, and then it would be like Neo. You know, it was all over the place.
Mine's still like that.
Yeah, I sometimes go back and listen to those songs in high school, and that was a great time.
I'm still listening to them. So when Chance came out with that one song with the Cab for Cutie.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen to it for like 3 days straight.
It was when we were talking earlier, I was like, I love that song.
That song is
great. It definitely makes me cry sometimes.
It makes me feel like, because I listened so heavily to all of it, like Spill Canvas, The Starting Line, like Sugar Cult, all of that.
Yeah.
And so when Chance and Death Cab had that collab song, Death Collab, when they had that song, I was like, oh, this is like the new version of Evolution. Like, I don't have to listen to all of my high school tracks anymore. I don't have to live in the past. I don't have to be so nostalgic because I really am in the past all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, I can move forward. And this Chance releasing this song is like the universe's way of saying, hey, you can let go.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I look back at that. I listened to, there's a Sinatra album. It's Sinatra at the Sands Casino in 67 or 69? Anyway, that's all I listened to for like 2 years in college. It was my like, I'm a writer, I smoke cigarettes and drink phase, you know? And there was like a song and he does a monologue at the top and, you know, like introing the song. And that was definitely my song in college.
Yeah,
that
it's your MySpace bio.
It was, no, that was like my hey, you're over in my apartment, let's put on some music.
Yeah.
You know? And then I would like know the words and it's like, I thought it was cute, but it probably wasn't. It was probably, that's the summation of like most of my adolescence is I thought it was cute, but it wasn't.
I know.
The things we think are going to work, and then they're just not.
Never.
They're never.
That's the thing. The only thing I've learned, I think, in this life so far. Wow. Heavy. This is like, whatever I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Everyone is like, what have you learned? All of your 28 years just condensed into one thing I'm about to say. I think the main thing that I've learned, one, be a good person. Second of all, the more you try, the less it's coming off the way you want it to.
Yeah.
Like the more you try to be funny, the less you're going to be funny.
Uh-huh.
The more you try to get someone to like you, the less they're going to like you. It's just like, try less.
And also, I mean, you know, whenever I have friends that are like, especially with dating, I feel like whenever I have friends that are like, it's difficult in the beginning or it's complicated or I'm not sure, I'm like, maybe move on.
Right.
Maybe, you know, I mean, like, sometimes you can work through whatever those complicated things are and there's a great relationship on the other side. But I think a lot of the times, like, those things just kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens with some, like, fluidity.
Right. Like, what's for me is for me. And what's not is somebody else's.
And it's going to be mutual. Because we've all been with somebody that either we like them more than they like us or they like us more than we like them. Mm-hmm. And you try to convince yourself or you try to convince them, and that's just, like, not a way to go about it.
Totally.
It's never going to work.
Mm-mm.
You can't trick someone.
You can't trick. I mean, not for too long, at least.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And back to the game.
10 things I hate. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
First, Scar. A great movie. First Scar.
I'm trying to think of a half a scar.
You don't have a scar?
Is
this your pass?
No, I do have a scar, but it, like, happened recently. I have a scar on my stomach because I was steaming a shirt while wearing it.
Okay, love that. First thing you do when you like someone.
First thing I do when I like someone. Ask them out.
Very good. First show you binge watched.
Lilyhammer.
What's that?
It's like one of the, like, the OG Netflix shows.
Oh.
With Steven Van Sant, is that correct? Yeah, yeah. Lilyhammer.
Nice.
It's about, like, a mobster that gets relocated in the Witness Protection Program to a small Swedish town called Lilyhammer. I don't know if it's in Sweden, but, like, a Norwegian town.
Got it.
Called Lilyhammer. Thank you very much. Somebody told me that. That didn't just come from my brain. And so, yeah, a small Norwegian town where, like, the Olympics were back in the 90s. And it's just an Italian mob guy there. It's very entertaining.
First excuse you make when trying to cancel plans.
I got food poisoning.
And lastly, the first time you cried in public. If you can remember.
I can. Preschool graduation.
Preschool graduation?
I tripped on the stairs and really fucked up my nose.
Oh my God, really?
And just cried on stage.
Aww.
So that's the first time that I can remember.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Wow. Being that young again. If you could be that young again, what would you do differently?
What?
If you like snapped your fingers and you were preschool.
Oh.
But you knew everything you know now.
Right.
That's always a cool.
I mean, in that moment, cry, boy. Cry, boy. Let those tears flow. That part I wouldn't change. I would change. There are things I would probably change. But, like, would I?
That's the thing.
Like, I'm good. Here's the thing. It's all about when you ask that question. Because
mm-hmm.
if you don't like now, then the inclination is going to be to change things.
Totally.
But if I'm happy with now, then all those things led me to now.
Exactly.
So, like, great. All that pain, all that sorrow, all that, like, sulking, all the sadness, the depression, all that stuff's, like, it wasn't great in the moment,
mm-hmm.
but it did make me the person that I am. Ugh, so cheesy.
No, I know.
You know what that was? Campy. That was campy. That was a campy fucking answer.
And I'm all about it. Okay, here is a question from someone in their early 20s. We're equipped for this because we're 27 and 28. We can help.
Yeah.
Hi. I was wondering if you guys had any advice on how to navigate your early 20s during this time and age of social media and clout chasers and just a lot of people lost. I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say, but yeah, just tips on navigating your early 20s.
Okay.
That's a great question.
Yeah. So I guess it's a twofold. So early 20s in general, and then with the element of social media, which makes everything harder, I'm sure.
Right.
My early 20s. Wow. I just remember being, I mean, your most formative ages, I think, like 18 to 25 is mm-hmm. just monumentally different.
Yeah. That jump.
Yeah.
The jump, especially the post-college jump.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 years after college are big. And I think, what do you think is a bigger jump? Do you think 18 to 20? I mean, I think the 22 to 25 is, like, the biggest
one. I think
so
too.
That's the most, like, transformative kind of, like, jump, I think.
I switched almost everything. I mean, it's the same as, it's what this, like, stat people call our era right now to 27 to 30, the Saturn return, where everything kind of is flushing out.
Uh-huh.
Or it's basically renegotiating which direction you want to go, or if you realize you're on the right path or the wrong path. But I think 22 to 25 and 27 to 30 are both like crazy turns in your life.
Yeah, I think don't be so hard on yourself and don't put so much pressure on yourself. And I think that ties in with the social media thing, because actually seeing success, right? And I put that with like air quotes, or like the idea of success, or people being successful and people achieving their dreams and people achieving their goals. All those things have never been more visible.
Right.
Right. So it's very easy to be like, well, why not me? Why am I not achieving those things? You know, whether that's in work or it's in relationships or friendships or like any of those things. And I think it's just because I still have a tough time with it, but it's like, we're young. Like, there's so much life left, you know, assuming things go well.
Right.
You know, assuming we maintain health and we don't get hit by a bus. So I think everyone wants to, like, achieve all of the things in their 20s. And some people will achieve a lot of those things and some people won't. And if you're one of those people that doesn't, that's okay. I haven't. I didn't. I was 20 when I came back from college, and I sit sometimes and I go like, whoa, it's been 7 years. Mm. And if you went back to 20 and you're like, yo, this is where you're going to be in 7 years, would that be enough? And the guy at 20 would be like, no. Mm. But the guy at 27 is like, you're exactly right where you need to be. And you've been doing all of these different things and learning all these things so you can move forward with that knowledge and continue to grow. And everyone's time is, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's timeline is the same, which is, oh, that's a fun little play on my mind, like timelines in real life and then actual timelines on your phone. Never like really put that together.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one's timeline is the same. And with social media, I mean, everyone knows this. Not everyone knows this, but like a lot of people just post lies just right to get themselves to look more successful. And it's I always say this too, it's the highlight reel. People are publishing their highlight reel. You are living the behind the scenes. So no one's posting themselves crying unless you're me. Like, I post when I cry.
Listen, I have people come up and they think I'm way more successful than I am for whatever reason. I don't know. And I'll be like, nah. I'm not. Like, wherever you think I am nowhere near that. And it's so funny because I don't post with that intention. Mm-hmm. But it's funny how that happens anyway.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the stories that people will create in their minds about your life. So knowing that, and also, yeah, I don't know.
I think that having social media so young is
that's the scary
dangerous
part. That's the scary thing. It's like the idea of like, it's like when you see eighth grade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's scary. You know, the idea that, I mean, now it's like any kid born in the last 10 years has had that in their lives forever. There was never a period before. I remember when we got AOL. There was a time before.
Yeah.
There was a time after. No one's going to experience that anymore.
So scary.
Yeah.
And she also mentions clout chasers, which is really detrimental. Like, and I've seen this in like my circles, and it's just the ickiest. It's just like, I think the main thing is like, why are you doing it? Like, I wish any clout chaser or anyone online, even us, like, why are we posting this? What are we wanting people to say? What are we wanting people to think about us? How are we like helping? How are we influencing whatever's going on? Like,
but I think it goes back to that conversation with yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And because I struggle with this. I struggle with like, what's the type of content that I want to make, right? Why am I making it? What's the goal? You know, because there's always inherent goals. You go like, well, I want to do this so that I can get this and then like, you know, achieve that. Still career aspirations in a weird sort of like self-personal kind of collage.
Right.
But you can't do it for positive reinforcement and validation, because like you said, you're going to get that negative reinforcement and that negative, you know, and those negative comments that are going to sting more. So you almost have to filter it all out. Like, you can't be like, I'm good with I can handle the negative stuff because the positive stuff makes you feel good. It's like, great. I think you just have to put it all to the side.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't seek positive, don't seek negative, seek making this stuff because you enjoy making it.
Right.
And that's going to come through. Kind of goes back to the trying hard thing that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I see people, and I've done it in the past before, where like I'll look at the video and be like, I look like I'm trying to do the thing.
Me too.
And I'm like, and it comes through in the video. Whereas when you're not trying to do the thing and you genuinely are just like having fun, that also comes through. And people have really good bullshit detectors, especially now. We've been doing it enough time that like people that are bullshitting have been called out enough that you're able to notice what those things look like.
Right.
So fucking if you're not enjoying it, don't fucking do it.
Don't do it.
Whatever it is that you're working on, whatever it is that you're putting out, if you don't enjoy doing it, don't do it. I stopped posting for like a good minute. I haven't been posting as much recently because I went back at the end of the year and I went, what am I going to do that's actually going to make me happy? What are the things that I enjoy doing? Now let me put a plan together to do those things because this is still my career. But that's going to be – there's going to be sustainability behind that, and it's probably going to be better at the end of the day.
Right.
And I'm actually going to be happy doing it. And I think also, like, when you post, I try not to, like, look at the numbers. Like, immediately – or the – it's like you post and that's it. Now go back to your day.
Exactly. That took me a long time to learn, too.
Yeah, same.
Oh, years.
Same. But it changed. I went to Arizona over the break, and for 4 days, my girlfriend and I, we put our phones away. And we just checked it once a day just to make sure for, like, emergency or whatever. But other than that, phones were gone. We went out, hiked, breakfast, all of it. No phones.
Wow.
And the level of happiness that I experienced.
Really?
Yeah. And I realized, too, I was like, I can still do my job and do this. I can still put my phone away because I don't need it most of the day. That's the other thing. We all feel like we're going to miss something. If you check it in the morning and you check in the afternoon, you're probably not going to miss anything.
Right.
You know, unless you're – I mean, different jobs call for different things. But we don't need it as much as we feel like we do.
Sometimes I'm not Jewish, but sometimes I'm not Jewish.
So when are you Jewish? Tell me, Megan.
I'm Jewish when I want something and I need to tell someone something. And on Saturdays, because sometimes I put my phone away.
Oh, that's great.
And it feels amazing. Like turning the phone off. I used to only turn my phone off if I was in like a big argument. This is, wow, I was a bad girlfriend back in the day. I'm like, oh, when I was in a big fight, I would turn my phone off in like middle school. And, but now I just.
Oh, how dare you be a bad girlfriend when you're 12, Megan. How dare you?
You're right. I have how to dare. Be perfect that's, always.
Always. Also, that's an insane concept that a 12-year-old should be good in a relationship.
I know.
I'm barely okay.
But putting my phone away. Yeah. Oh, my God. Once a week really, really feels so good.
Yeah.
I would say do that. That's advice for just whatever.
But yeah, but don't be so hard on yourself.
I like that.
Yeah, because then I think you can enjoy it. I have years that I feel like I didn't enjoy. Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know? Just because you just get so caught up in the goals and in the aspirations.
When you said that, I was like, oh, wow. I never thought about that. I mean, like, I definitely feel like a lot of my – I mean, I worked my ass off so hard in my early 20s. But same. I was like, I did lose a little bit of my life. Yeah. But I mean, it's a trade-off. Everything is a trade-off. So it's like I do think it's worth it. But it is like – I don't know. I think if you work hard in your 20s, then you can chill in your 30s a little bit more. Like, you can experience more in your 30s.
Yeah, but also – I think it depends on the individual. Because yeah. I've met people that genuinely get happiness from the work.
Mm.
Right? So it's like, it's really simple to be like, don't work too hard because that's detrimental. And I say to some people it may be.
Sure.
And to other people, they're wired where like they actually get joy from the work. They've gotten to the point where the journey is the thing that they enjoy. So I think it's just about having, once again, going inward and having that honest conversation about what makes you happy. And it's okay if it's not – if like what makes you happy won't result in you being a millionaire and being super successful and famous. Like you don't need all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Right. You don't.
I mean I do. But like maybe you don't. No.
Yeah. It's not one size fits all. The Imodium won't work for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn it, you just lost the Imodium sponsorship by saying it doesn't work for everybody.
And that's on me. Okay, wrapping this up, we have a game called Tip Jar. Well, it's really a segment called Tip Jar. This is a one-word suggestion that is tweeted at me or sent to me in some way on the internet. And we have to give advice using only three words. So I usually like to use the the example, if someone said Los Angeles, and what were your three words only of advice, you would say check parking signs.
Oh, okay.
So something like that. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
It's cool. Not timed. You can take your time.
Okay, cool.
So what is a piece of advice for flying using only three words?
Got it.
What is it?
Sanitize your seat.
Oh, I don't do that. You do that?
I started to.
I should do that. I have a friend that does that all the time, and she posts it on her Instagram story, and I'm like, that is very dirty. I should definitely do that.
Yeah. Do you see the video, like the video of the person with their foot scrolling on the screen? And then, I mean, I think, was it Naomi Campbell? I think she posted how she does that.
Oh,
and
really?
I was like, at first you're like, oh, and then you're like, that makes sense. That makes perfect. There are people going in and out
right. All
day. You don't know who they are. You don't know what they have. You don't. And then we're just like, oh, let me put my piece of bread just directly on this tray.
So true.
And we're fine because we have immune systems. Like, I have to remind myself. But, you know, it doesn't hurt.
My tip for flying in three words is What are they called? Like, airline rewards? What are the...
Oh, yeah, mileage accounts.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Get mileage accounts.
I don't know if that's the right term.
Pause. I think it's a mileage. Yeah, like a...
Like a... Get
rewards.
Get reward system.
Get reward system.
It's a rewards program.
Get rewards program. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, next one. Speeding tickets.
Do traffic school.
Do traffic school to get the point off your license?
Yeah, but like do it immediately because I put it off and then I passed it and then I had to drive down to the courthouse and get an extension and then like I did it and it's not that hard. You just do it online, but just don't delay it.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever got one speeding ticket in high school. I think this goes for getting pulled over in general is just be nice. Just be nice to the cop.
Yeah.
Don't, whatever.
I just remember the one speeding ticket I got was 16. And this is how dumb 16-year-olds are. And the fact that we get driver's licenses is insane. I was on the freeway and I look in my rearview mirror and maybe like 3/4 mile back, I see the highway patrol.
Oh, no.
I'm going like 85, right? And I go, I'm going to go a little faster and then I'll lose them. And then he fucking pulled me over like a minute later because I'm just like clocking at 100.
Oh,
and he goes
God.
Like, what the fuck were you doing? And I go, I don't know. Then he gave me the ticket and then, you know, whatever, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hilarious that you thought you would lose him.
I would lose the cop. Like, the cop isn't going to pay attention to me because, oh, well, mine's just, they just got a gray Nissan Altima, so he won't see me. It'll blend in. Hey, buddy, don't need a red Corvette to be pointed out when you're driving 100 miles an hour or however fast. Ugh. So dumb.
Our last one is home. And you can take that in any way you want.
Mm.
Okay. No, you go.
I have two.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. First one is make it yours.
Okay, love it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's, because I work from home too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm big on just I try to put all my effort into making it the most comfortable space in my life.
Yeah.
That I actually like really enjoy. It also helps me save money because then you're like, do we want to go out or do we just stay in?
Totally.
And then that's great. But I love my home.
Yeah.
It's not a big home. It's an apartment, but like I did the work to, and Facebook Marketplace really helps.
I've heard about that. I should.
All of my furniture on there.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know when I'm selling it. Because mine is a declutter every season.
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I can do that on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
Yo. Sponsored by Facebook Marketplace.
And also you can use Lug to move all that stuff. Have you used Lug before?
No, is that like TaskRabbit?
It's like TaskRabbit, but for movers. So let's say I bought a desk. We're doing a lot of ads. But let's say you bought a desk let's say you live in West Hollywood and there's a desk in Culver City.
Okay.
You can hire a pickup, you know, they have different sizes of stuff, but you can they'll pretty much go to the apartment. They'll pick it up, put it on their pickup truck or their truck or whatever, bring it to your apartment and bring it into your apartment, and then take out whatever it's replacing if you have something to replace.
No.
And they'll do all that work. And it's, you know, it's pretty reasonable as long as the distance isn't crazy. And, you know, when you think about like, oh, we got to rent a U-Haul truck or we got to do that. If it's just like a quick thing, it really – it's awesome.
Oh, my God. That's so helpful.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay, what's your last one, your second home?
Oh, I'm trying to make it three words. Smell really good, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm obsessed with essential oil diffusers and incense.
Yes.
When it smells good, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
It feels clean. I'm also a big cleaner.
No, same.
Oh, I love cleaning.
I think we're very similar. So I think you're an Aries, right?
I'm a Pisces.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right. Interesting.
What are you?
An Aries.
Okay.
March 29th.
Okay. So
but it seems like we're kind of type A
cleany. I'm bordering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Great. Well, then before we full on end this, now that I know that you're a Pisces, what? I'm kidding. My sister's a Pisces. What is one piece of advice that you would give your 18-year-old self?
Don't be so hard on yourself.
I'm changing it.
Okay.
What's one piece of advice you would give yourself today?
No, I'm just kidding. one thing I would give myself today. I would say it's a mix of love yourself and trust yourself. Mm-hmm. But I feel like trust yourself is – I feel like we all have this like pendulum – sort of relationship when it comes to ourselves. And like there are times in our lives where we really hate ourselves and the love goes away and the love comes back and maybe it's a little 50-50. But the trust yourself is huge. And like in relinquishing that doubt is something that I would tell myself. Hey Daniel, trust yourself.
Trust yourself.
Treat yourself and trust yourself.
Love that. Okay, new merch. I will buy one once you have that shirt. Thank you so much for
being here.
Thanks
for having
me.
This was so much fun.
Such a delight. I'm so glad that we're both like a good enough health in order to have quality conversation.
This was wonderful. This is great.
Where can everyone find you on the internet if they want more, more, more?
I am at DW Comedy.
DW Comedy.
On all the things.
There's DW Candles. You ever have one of those?
I have not.
Uh-oh.
Are they good candles?
They are pretty good.
Candles are always, they feel too expensive to me.
Oh my God, they are.
Yeah.
But if you go to Home Goods, they're very inexpensive.
Okay.
Three-wick candles for like $14.
And they're good candles.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Soy, yum.
All right.
You got them.
Delicious.
We have mentioned so many products on this pod.
You got to call them all and $5.
Ring, ring, $5. We mentioned your name.
Listen, can we get a pack of Imodium? Can we get one free move? Can we also maybe, I don't know, just like buy something on Facebook Marketplace, you cover it, and then give me some soy candles.
And that's it.
And that's it.
And we'll have a perfect house. If you're listening, have a sticky situation or burning concern, call us at 805-751-9071. You give us your age and we will do the best we can. And in this case, I think we killed it, Daniel.
I think this was great.
This was
right?
Great.
I mean,
right?
it almost didn't happen. So the fact that it happened is a success. The thing being is inherently greater than the thing not being. So win.
And also, guys,
I hope you liked it because if you didn't, I mean, that's okay. Oh, man. Oh, no, Daniel, trust yourself.
Trust yourself.
Oh,
treat
yourself.
Trust
yourself.
Yeah,
that was good.
We'll see you next week on Just a Tip. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.